and he brings out John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is a wild man out there in the wilderness, and he didn't just pop up there. He wasn't born there. Remember, he is Zechariah and Elizabeth's son. Remember that? That's where he comes from. That's who he is. He could be a part of the priestly aristocracy. But he turns his back against the hereditary claim of priesthood. He turns away from opportunity to wear fancy robes. Turns away from elaborate feasts. And instead changes all that for camel's hair clothing and eating locusts. He chooses that. He feels God calling to them. No wonder he's a little bit cranky. I mean, really, if that's the way it is with you, he could be, and actually, he's a whole lot worse than that. Did you hear the reading Diana read? Did you hear the words what John the Baptist said? I mean, he is a bearded, curmudgeon, Christmas killjoy. No one wants him at a Christmas party. There's no fa-la-la-la about John. People go to great lengths, though, to go hear him. And what does he say? Does he say, "Oh, I am so glad you came. Thank you so much. I know you've had a lot going on. You worked hard. What a great effort you made. Taking the time, making such a supreme sacrifice to be able to be here. You guys are just the best. I am just so blessed by your dedication and commitment to come out here." Is that what he says?
No,
not even close. He says, "You brood of vipers. Who warned you about the wrath to come? Bearing fruits of worthy of repentance." That's what he says. That's what he says. He looks at them and he calls them out and he says, "You are so going to fry when you die, and I'll tell you why. Because you are nothing but a bunch of sniveling, cowardly scoundrels and scalawags. You are nothing but a bunch of thieving, lying, cheating, manipulative hypocrites. You, in the words of Jonathan Edwards, you are an insect hanging on a thread over the fiery pits of hell." And yet people flock to him. They go to great lengths to get out there to be yelled at him. Why in the world do you want you go to that much time and trouble for someone to tell you how bad you are? To get yelled at? Why would you do something like that? My guess is we get a clue because of what the crowd says. When he finishes sermon, what does he say? What should we do? You see, that's not a question you ask when you feel confident. That's not a question you ask when everything is going well. But that's a question you ask when everything is falling apart. That's a question you ask when things are down, dirty, and desperate. That's a question you ask when you know that you don't have it together no matter what else people may think. That's the question you ask. What should we do? When you know that something is broken and it needs to be fixed. When something is hurt and it needs to be healed. When something has to change in order for it to get better. What should we do? I mean, when you think about it, when your car is smoking, rattling, shaking, pulling to the right, and all the indicator lights are flashing before your eyes, you don't want your mechanic to say, "Well, you know, probably okay." You're thinking, "No, it's not. It can't possibly be." You want your mechanic to tell you, "This needs to be fixed, this needs to be repaired, and this needs to be replaced." If you go to the doctor looks at your blood pressure, looks at your blood work, and looks at all the other reports and the scans and all these other things, and he says, "Well, let me see, your weight's way off, your cholesterol is shockingly bad, in fact, it's set in your record, and you don't get enough exercise, and you're eating too much of the wrong things, and this isn't, but, you know, it's probably okay." That's not what you want to hear. good news. The good news is the bad news is not the last news. It's not the final news. Because we can change. We can do things differently. We can think differently. We can act differently. Our confession of sin and failing and weakness is not the only word about who we are. And it's not the last word about who we are. Because the whole purpose of John's preaching and John's message and the whole purpose of the Bible is it is good news. Read verse 18 again. Preach the good news. They rejoice at the good news. It's good news. Because the whole purpose is to save the grain. The whole purpose of the plan is to save, salvation, redemption. We're not sinners in the hands of an angry God. We are sinners in the heart of a loving God who loves us and cares for us and wants nothing but the best for us. Yes, there is accountability. There has to be, or else there can be no correction. But we're playing the wrong notes at the wrong time. No one's going to understand that we're playing Amazing Grace. In order for them to recognize it, can't put in dirt when the recipe calls in for sugar. And Jesus is coming to help us clean up, to help us separate from the distractions of our life, from the important things of our life, to help us discern what's really important. What's really important? What's the most important thing in your life? And chances are really good it's not a thing at all. It's people. Your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with your family, to your friends. It's about the relationship. I called John the Baptist a curmudgeon and killjoy at Christmas. But here's some irony for you. He is considered Yes, we are all sinners. Yes, we are.